When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Evan Novy Williams, and this is the Light Up the Rempire State Building sports business podcast, The Sportacast.
See, now you're just sucking up. Now you're just sucking up. I know we discussed Matt Rempe.
Oh, we have.
And I know we're going to talk hockey, but I think that was just a little bit of suck up because you think I'm going to say, oh, that's good. The Rempire State Building, and we're talking hockey, fourth liner, pugilist, scored the first goal of the postseason for the New York Rangers. If you were betting, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever.
Yep.
What would be the odds that Rempe gets the first goal for the New York Rangers?
It would have been pretty wide.
Yeah, longer than his stick, right? Right. That was pretty good, right?
And a great nickname, Rempire State Building.
Oh, Rempire State Building.
For a Ranger is a great one.
All right.
One.
Well, duh. I mean, it couldn't be for the LA Kings. Yes.
Yeah.
But tell people who Matt Rempe is if you're not watching the NHL playoffs, if you have not followed the Rangers for a little while. Explain who this guy is and why he has captured the imagination and enthusiasm of what used to be called, for me in my younger day, I think they still are blue, but I don't think the behavior in the blue seats is the same as when I was a kid sitting in the blue seats.
He's a Rangers rookie. He was called up. I think his first game was the outdoor game this year, Scott, where he scored in that game as well. You mentioned he has a very physical playing style. He has been fighting a lot. He's not without controversy. In some ways, I think Matt Rempe is a Rorschach test for hockey fans, right? The ones who hate how physical and hate the fighting in the game and think the game is dangerous and reckless see him using all those adjectives. And I think there's also this other subset of hockey fans out there who look at him as bringing back the tough guy mentality, the enforcer attitude that hockey had 20 years ago and has slowly been getting rid of. But if you're a fan base like the New York Rangers, I would imagine most of them fall in that second bucket of loving how physical he is, understanding that there are probably some bad penalties that are going to be taken, but because of it, he'll pour in a couple goals every now and then, as we saw this weekend. But this is probably the best Rangers team that the Rangers have had in a very long time. He has become kind of the embodiment of what I think Rangers fans are looking at and enjoying when they see this team.
All right. As a former defenseman, let me tell you, you certainly know when there's a guy on the ice like Rempe. when that puck rims around and your bastard goalie, and I have one of those, doesn't stop it, and I'm stuck to go back and get it, and I know I'm going to get creamed, you know when that guy's on the ice. So here's his stats. Regular season, he played in 17 games, one goal, one assist. Okay. By the way,
There was one goal, first game.
Yeah. The first game, yeah. But to have one goal and one assist and be a plus one is pretty darn good. That means you are not on the ice when the other team scores goals. I mean, that fourth line, the message is clear. You go hit, get his energy, pound those defensemen, and do not let the other team score. It's like Ogi Oglethorpe, right? But here's the interesting one. Where's my penalties and minutes? Here you go, 71 penalty minutes in 17 games. Okay, so that tells you a little bit about what you're doing. But he's become this fan favorite, right? And I wonder what a guy like this can do. And they interviewed him in between periods, and he had just this infectious smile. And he's like 6'7", so of course, you know, it just looks funny. But he's got this infectious smile and enthusiasm. He even said just something about, like, just tell us about the game. He was like, oh, man, this has been my dream. Like, this place is electric. I mean, there's no better place to be. And I can imagine seeing these veteran players who are a little bit more savvy sitting in the locker room looking over almost like, hey, wait, like they brought their toys. You know, I guess people who know what I'm referencing there will know the movies. But must be looking at him a bit quizzically, like, what is this kid doing? But loving every second of his enthusiasm and saying, man, this guy appreciates every opportunity he's getting. And that really, really resonates. Now, the question I say to you is, and we've got some NHL numbers from the season, how does that cut through? How does Gary Bettman et al., how do they bring a Matt Rempe into the living rooms of America so that it's not just you and I, but casual sports fans talking, you know, this is not Caitlin Clark yet, you know. So how do you get casual sports fans saying, even if you don't know his name, they know the nickname, and I love that really tall guy gets a lady who fights all the time for the Rangers. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's a good question, again, because there's a lot of sports fans, casuals out there, or even non-NHL fans, who one of the things they don't like or would not like about the league is the amount of fighting in it. So in some ways, I mean, I don't think that Matt Rempe is really the front line, if you're Gary Bettman, of who you want to reach out to. There's certainly some people out there who are not watching the NHL who would love to watch him play. So I think you want to try to kind of thread that needle a little bit. But this has been it's been a good year commercially for the NHL. You hinted at it. The TV viewership is up, both with ESPN and with Turner. Attendance was up as well. So those two numbers are obviously good. Looking at the playoffs, there are a number of great storylines. The most valuable team in the league is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're playing their rival, the Boston Bruins, the fifth most valuable team in the league. What's happening in Edmonton with the best player in the world in Connor McDavid and the horrible start they had, and then how hot they were the rest of the year. And they're a great business story as well, Scott, as
you know, from a real estate perspective. I'm going to interrupt for a second. You know what I want to see? Colorado, everybody knows they're up and down, but I want to see Winnipeg and Edmonton. My God.
I want to see that, Colorado and Edmonton.
You want some, well, Colorado, Edmonton, that's all, I get it. Yeah. I mean, but the Winnipeg, Colorado game one was insane, insanely entertaining. You thought Connor Hellebuck, you know, best goalie, and he's not going to give up anything. Look, you know, 5 minutes in, you look back, he's giving up three goals. Like, wait, what's going on here? Wow, is that an entertaining series?
Yeah, so there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot on the calendar right now that looks really enticing for hockey fans, and hopefully for folks who aren't that come to see it. And then, yeah, seeing who wins and how these things come together. If the Rangers and the Maple Leafs meet at some point, if the Rangers and the
you have the Maple Leafs advancing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying Rangers. Oh, okay. There's enough in here that if you poor get Maple the right Leafs matchups, I think are really, really, really good results here for Gary Bettman and for the NHL.
Well, I think that's the answer. I'm answering my own question. You know what? You need the Rangers to advance. You need places like us to talk about him. You need him to get a bit more media coverage. The further along it goes and the more people hear, then they sample what's going on. And then they get a peek at this guy. And then they have vested interest in hanging around and seeing the next game and the next game. I was down in Raleigh. Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about the NBA at some point, but just highlighting what the Rangers and the Knicks are poised to do right now, right? They're both the second most valuable team in each of their leagues, both owned by Jim Dolan and Madison Square Garden.
Take a bow, Jim Dolan.
I was looking just before we came on. There's been 1 year since the turn of the millennium that both the Rangers and the Knicks have won playoff series in the same year. So it's not common. They're both leading as we record this. They're both leading their series one game to none. It's been since 1994 when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup and the Knicks, I think, lost in the finals. It's been since then.
They lost to San Antonio in a lockout-shortened season.
It's been since then that both these teams got out of the conference semifinals, so got out of the second round of the playoffs in the same year. And both teams look good right now, poised at least to get fairly far in the playoffs. So it doesn't affect the stock price nearly as much as I think people think. But the fact that both the Knicks and Rangers are good and are winning in the playoffs, at least right now, is big here in New York, where you and I are both recording, and also obviously good financially for the owner.
And then if he really wants to take an extra long extended bow, then we can talk about Sphere Entertainment.
Absolutely.
I mean, that facility is getting a lot of publicity for everything that happens. And you know, that was Jim's vision. So, right, Jimmy's got to take a little celebratory lap here. Like, his teams are winning.
A lap that a lot of people in sports don't want to see him take, clear.
It's only about the results. If you're going to kill the guy when the teams stink, you have to give him credit when the teams are good, right? It was always Jimmy meddled. Yeah. Jimmy meddled. He meddled in the Knicks. He would leave. You know, he left Glenn Seether alone with the Rangers. So that's why they were good. But here they are, like two really, really good teams. I said we're going to talk about the NBA. Let's do it right now. The interesting thing here is that as we record, We have the expiration of exclusivity in the negotiations between the NBA and its current media partners. That would be the Walt Disney Company and, of course, Warner Brothers Discovery, a.k.a. You would know it as TNT and that great show Inside
same
the
partners
NBA.
As the NHL, yeah.
Yeah, same partners. But Adam Silver and his ownership group can now go talk to other folks. The price of that programming is going to be quite high. And I think you'll remember it was, a couple of years ago where David Zaslav over at Warner Brothers Discovery said, we don't have to have the NBA. Now, was this just a negotiating posture? Was his vest too tight that day? What do you think was going on with David Zaslav? And where are we now where others, and we do know the NBA is a very tech-forward, tech-friendly league. We know the NBA would not be afraid to really jump into streaming in a big way. Where is David Zaslav now, where those talks are expanding to other partners?
Everyone that I talk to expects or seems to say that both Warner Brothers Discovery and Disney are very far along in the process and also very much want to keep the NBA.
You're no fun.
It seems like there's going to be at least, and I say at least, heavily emphasized, at least three packages here, right? So at the very least, it's two TV partners and then a streaming partner, whether that's Amazon, which seems to be the front runner right now, or a Netflix or an Apple or a Google or something like that. One of the things that struck me, Scott, The Athletic reported this week that they're looking at 10-year deals, which is certainly in the NFL model. The NFL's deals, I believe, were 11-year deals when they kicked in 2 years ago.
I bet there's reopeners in there.
I'm sure there are reopeners also. Yeah. But given how much change there's been just in the last few years in both streaming and in broadcast and cable television, signing a 10-year deals just seems like such a who knows what this industry is going to look like, and who knows if you're setting yourself up to win big or to lose big depending on how those deals are structured. So I was a little surprised by the 10 years, but on the whole, if you're ranking American sports TV properties that you want, the NFL is obviously number one, but college football and the NBA are in a very exclusive or very small group, I think, right underneath the NFL. This is still
tier one,
premium.
We call them tier one property.
Yeah, this is still premium. And whether they double or triple, which is kind of in the range that people have been talking about, the NBA right now gets about $2.6 million on average. $2.6 billion a year on average from its TV deals. So yeah, multiply that by 2.1, 2.4, 2.9. Wherever you want to be, this is going to be a windfall for NBA owners.
I was there last time at the the roadshow of happy owners after they announced the last deal. And I'll never forget Ted Leonsis said, there's never been a better day to be an NBA owner, to own an NBA franchise, whatever the quote was. Something tells me that after it's announced this time and we see the dollar figure, that Ted Leonsis and his brethren will say there's never been a better time to be an NBA owner. And, you know, the NBA, what we talk about, like, they don't mind people using their highlights. They don't mind people using IP. They understand that they've got to, they have a, you know, younger, not young, but younger fan base than some others. And they understand that the consumption is different. And they understand my focus group of one is not going to sit down and watch a game, but maybe he'll pay 99 cents for the last 2 minutes. They understand that they love highlights. So, the shoulder programming that comes, especially at a place like ESPN, how many program hours of NBA do you get to fill those airwaves? I mean, you're a 24/7 sports network. The games themselves ain't going to cut it. You've got to utilize it, slice it and dice it in a bunch of ways. And certainly ESPN knows how to do that.
And the NBA has been creative in switching up its schedule to make the rights more valuable. The in-season tournament, which had its first year this year, whether you liked it or hated it as a fan, is going to make the NBA's rights more valuable.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
The play-in games.
Another package. That's where you're going to see an exclusive streaming package, right?
The play-in games. That it used to be the top eight teams in each division, each conference get into the playoffs. Now it's it expands down to 10, and there's four teams competing for those final two slots. That is going to make the NBA's package more valuable. So they have made subtle or not so subtle, depending on how you view them. They've made some changes to the way that the calendar works to make these rights more valuable. Scott, I want to make sure that we also touch on if you're just going by raw percentages, the piece of this package that's probably the biggest grower is the WNBA. The WNBA right now gets, I think, an average current deal about $40 million from all of its TV partners. Those rights are also up. The NBA, as Adam Silver told me a few weeks ago, is thinking about these things, maybe not fully overlap, but does want some overlap in the TV partners between the NBA and the WNBA. But I imagine, or I know, that the leverage that the W has in terms of its piece of this pie is a lot stronger now, and perfect timing, really, than it was when those last deals were cut a few years ago.
Yeah, but for those saying, hey, they should do it independently, there's a lot of benefit that goes to tying yourself to the NBA. A lot of leverage
for sure
that goes in doing those things. Like, let's not just discount. They should just do it separately. Let's pump the brakes on that discussion. And what do
they're
we like to do on this
show? They're also
impossible
to separate, right? NBA owns more than roughly half of the league.
A lot
they
of
are
shared
the driving
owners.
Force,
yeah.
Shared owners. There's so much there that already creates overlap.
What do we like to do on this show, Evan?
We
like to triangulate. Here we go, little triangulate. There. I think my camera's a little lower. See, you said no, but something's not right. See how this line is sideways? I don't know. Something's not right. Okay, so, and talking about the NBA rights, so you know who's back in the negotiations, really wants a piece here.
NBC.
That would be NBC. Now, you're a bit too young, but do you remember, I used to see it live, but maybe you on your VHS. Do you remember Inside Stuff, the show Inside Stuff?
I do not, no.
You really don't remember Inside Stuff?
No, that's an NBC NBA show?
It was a shoulder programming NBA show that was co-hosted by Ahmad Rashad and Willow Bay.
Huh.
Now, how am I, you want to finish the triangulation between NBC, NBA, Willow Bay, who is married to
Bob Iger.
Bob Iger, who is
the chairman of Disney,
the CEO of Disney, which
chairman,
owns
CEO. ESPN.
ESPN, is bidding on. So now are we gonna bring this show back? Are we bringing? Is that part of the ESPN Disney pitch? Come on, we'll bring back Inside Stuff with Willow Bay and Ahmad Rashad. We can just bring it full circle.
Is Inside Stuff kind of the precursor to the Charles Barkley and Shaq show in terms of kind of bringing a funnier, lighter mood to studio coverage of a league?
It was this may be before your time. The Tommy Lasorda baseball bunch. Do you remember that? Do you know that?
I do not.
God, you're so young. It was more of a fun look. Yes, a fun look, a conversation with a player. Just more of a fun, you know what Ahmad Rashad does. He was, part Hollywood entertainment. It was really sort of way before, like now we don't even think anything of it, but it was really the marriage of basketball and entertainment. So yes, that's sort of what they did. But I love that we could triangulate or even whatever, square it all here on this show, that tying it all together.
Scott, what should NBA fans make of the fact that, as you said, as of noon on Monday, the exclusive window that WBD and ESPN had expired? I don't put much stock in that and what that maybe means or doesn't mean for negotiations, but you let me know if there's something deeper that you think is relevant about that timing.
Nah, these relationships matter, man. WBD, we're going back four decades in their relationship with the NBA. Bob Iger and Adam Silver, his precursor, David Stern, very, very good friends, this is the kind of stuff that can get done with a handshake. So I think it's sort of the NBA saying, hey, we'd like to explore some other streaming. We'd like to see.
Test the water. Yeah.
Okay. Test the water. Yeah. Let's see how we can do. Let us see. And then we'll come back. I, like you, fully expect the incumbents to be a part of the new package. Just a matter of what do we do on the streaming side. And of course, like, you know, NBC would like to have Peacock involved. All these entities would like to have their streaming components involved in some way or another. And exclusivity, drive subs. But I can give a prediction that I do not think this will happen, Evan. And it's happened before at, you know, big time pro sports.
Okay.
This will not happen. They will not sign a one and only deal with Apple. That's all I'm saying. This one, they would the
Scott is sticking
down.
His neck out.
You
here,
can
folks.
Do date. You can do date and time. Market 100% solid. The NBA will not sign an exclusive deal with Apple. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I will not. I will not disagree with you on that front.
Good. So there we go. What else are we talking about? Oh, wait. Let's stick with basketball because I love this. We saw it this morning. Like, we love marketing. We love basketball. Mm. Bring them all together. And I go back to one of the best things we've ever seen done was Beats by Dre when they gave out the headphones to the U.S. Olympic team. They got off the plane, like, all wearing the headphones. You could see the logo. I mean, talk about influencer marketing, right? Who was more influential at the time than the U.S. basketball team? And now Timberland, yes, the boots, they did a custom set giving it to certain New York Knicks players for the playoffs. And I mean, you guys have to take our word for it, you go Google it. But I love the boot. On the bottom of the boot is the skyline of Manhattan. You and I both, and we are not fashionistas by any sense, and I think you and I even bring different sensibilities to what we wear, whatever.
Yeah.
Odd is the day where something in the fashion world, I said, ooh, this is cool, and you said, I got to get me a pair of those. Odd is the day when that happens, so I think it's going to resonate with people.
These are very cool. They're the classic Timberland Tam boot, but it has essentially burned into the side, as you said, the New York skyline. They put for the players the number and felt on the back heel. This feels like, yeah, Beats by Dre, I think, is a really good analogy if the plan here, and I hope it is, for Timberland to sell these things. But it also feels like you could sell these in 20 cities around America with a different skyline on each of them. I can't imagine that the production cost is that crazy once you figured out the way to burn it. So, yeah, really cool boot and smart. The we were talking in the office this morning, Scott, about how New York has a vibe to it when the Knicks are good, and there's a lot of pent up anxiety around
Knicks
that
and
vibe.
Rangers at the same time.
And
is
Knicks
really
and Rangers,
something.
Especially, yeah. But the Knicks have been bad. The Rangers have been good for a while. The Knicks have been so bad for so long that, yeah, I think anyone trying to get in early on this playoff run, if it goes late, is going to be rewarded. I think because this city is different when the Knicks are in the playoffs and they're playing well.
Anybody who was around Manhattan when Jeremy Lin had his meteoric rise, anybody who was walking through the streets of Manhattan, I used to walk home through the park and I'd be going up Columbus Avenue, and that's a lot of bars and restaurants where the windows were open. People were outside stopping to look in and watch the TV to see how the Knicks were doing because just Jeremy Lin had everybody captivated. You were right. It is an absolutely different
field.
And
that was a week in February, right? That were 10 days, whatever it was. Yeah. It wasn't even playoffs. It didn't even last particularly long. But yes, there is some pent-up basketball energy here for sure.
Now, let me ask you this. The skyline of New York on the side, anybody can look at it, you know, it's iconic and say, okay, I know that's, you know, I could have done that in Seattle. I could do that in Toronto. I'm not sure how many other skylines I would know. One, does it matter as long as the people who are buying the boot know this is Charlotte or this is Memphis? Like, I would have no idea. You can put the skyline of Charlotte or Memphis. I would have no idea what that is. New York, I get. But what do you do for the other cities? Is it that compelling or does it matter?
I think it doesn't matter, personally.
Okay.
I mean, I think that there are some that certainly would be. The Space Needle in Seattle, for example, I think is like a very obvious one. But I think there's just a lot of city pride. Frank Vetrano, the NHL player? Is he from Lowell? He's from somewhere out in like Western Massachusetts where he has the whole city skyline on his back. And just because he's proud of it. And if you're from Lowell or wherever it is he's from, there's a camaraderie to it and a loyalty. I think you could do that anywhere. Again, I think Chicago, okay. I think you could really pick any city as long as the place where you're wearing it, people get it. I think the world's your oyster.
All right. Well, now speaking of pearls and pearls of wisdom, don't bet on your own team. So Shohei Ohtani, How long ago was it where we were questioning whether this guy was going to be thrown out of baseball and, oh my God, he was betting, or it was really him, it's not his translator? It wasn't that long ago, right? We were asking these questions recently,
some of these questions, to be totally honest.
Is there any damage? Is there any fallout? What's going to happen to Shohei Ohtani? And all of a sudden, we look up and he's got a new endorsement contract already. It was like he signed a deal with a tech brand called Repsoto. It's a baseball and hitting and tech thing. I'm like, wow, we're announcing new deals already. Good for you, Shohei Ohtani. Is this thing over? Is it behind him? Is it done? Are we no more questions asked? Is that where we are from a sports marketer standpoint?
I just looked it up, by the way. It's Springfield, Massachusetts, not Lowell. But it is it is Frank Vergiano. So
let's triangulate.
I got that piece.
Springfield, Massachusetts. We always say the same thing. Home of?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Eben, come on.
The Simpsons?
What's in Springfield? No. It's very funny. That's Springfield. I actually did see... I did see once, you have to go look it up, where they went through every episode and all the little clues, and they found out there was only one Springfield that it could be with all the hints that were in all the episodes. Okay. I don't remember which one, but you have to go look it up. But come on, what's in Springfield? Ladies and gentlemen, at @Novi_Williams, send your disdain.
What are you kidding me?
There's one sports related thing that we think of in Springfield. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Thank you. Okay. You got there. Good.
There you go.
Criticism of Novi Williams.
Yes. Going back to Shohei Ohtani, I assume, Scott, this deal was in the works for a very long time. It felt like
months.
The kind of thing that, you want to announce at the start of the season, and then, we can't announce this at the start of the season.
Pause.
Yeah. But I do think it says something that they announced it now, right? They didn't wait that long. Not wait that long after the charging documents came out, the government's investigation, which, as you said, there's still a lot of questions here. There's nothing that we have seen that directly implicates Shohei or makes it seem like he knew anything. We don't fully know yet, but it does say something to me that 2 weeks later, less than 2 weeks later, they're ready to jump out and make this announcement. It's good for baseball. It's good for Shohei. I mean, the more, if he is indeed innocent, the more that they can move past all of that. I think it's good for pretty much everyone involved at this point. But Shohei is his off-field earning potential is incredible given where he's popular and where he's from. If you look at it's very funny, but if you look at the highest paid athletes in the world, Lev, our colleague, does this great chart that shows in two colors. So one color is what they're paid by their team, and the other color is what they make in endorsements. And because Shohei Ohtani's contract is so bizarre, he essentially gets paid nothing by his team right now. It's the tiniest little sliver. And then obviously the endorsements are absolutely huge. He's one of the highest paid athletes in the world. But the gap between your salary on the court and off it, or on the field and off it, is just so wonky right now because of how unique Shohei's Dodgers deal is.
And I could just see, by the way, in the last couple of weeks, the general counsel at Repsoto totally scribbling a rider to that deal real fast, seeing how do we get out of this.
It would be a great question. Yeah. If this was signed, it's very possible it was signed months ago. That happens often with these deals. Would be curious to see if there were some added protections looped in just in case there's more information that we don't yet know.
Yeah, and I know this is spokesperson marketing, but did you take the quote from Shohei, or do you want me to read it?
You know, you go for it. I didn't see it until you read it out loud.
Okay, I love this. This is the quote from Shohei Ohtani, the greatest two-way ball player who's just, crushing it as a pitcher. Of course, he's out with an arm injury now, but he's just a killer MVP-type player. I wish these tools were available to me earlier, Ohtani said in a statement. I think to myself, if I had something like this during my Little League years, how much better could I have been now?
I'd be closing my own games. I'd be playing outfield and catcher simultaneously. And I'd also be manager. If only.
How funny is that? How much better would I be now if I only had these tools? Oh, my God. Poor Shohei Ohtani. Not quite good enough. He wanted more. I love it.
So good. If there was a Rapsodo equivalent for us, Scott, think of how much better we would be if we had those tools when we were in Little League. He is Scott Soschnick. You can find him on Twitter @Soschnick. I am Eben Novi Williams. You can find me on Twitter @Novi_Williams. The show is produced by Aaron Greenewald. Thank you very much to Aaron. Sportico's digital media editor, Cora Veltman, would like you to know that you can follow the show @Sporticast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.